We've all tried doing things on our own. Like, who here's ever tried doing something and not succeeded or not seen the result they wanted and quit before you finished? I mean, I'm up there too. And, you know, we always need help in everything we do. We can't take a test without a teacher to teach us. You can't bake a cake without, you know, the information on how to do it. Like, you can't do it by yourself. And God gave us the Holy Spirit. That's our professor. That's, you know, whatever you need, the nutrition facts, whatever you need to bake the cake, that's what God gave us. And last week when Irene was talking about our world and when we're self-centered and how it's me in the middle and you've got on the side, family, class, you know, your friends and whatever else you have around you, and whenever you start running out of time, you start to cut out things. Well, if you're in the middle of a circle and everything rotates around you, all right, just like the earth and the moon, like, I can't come closer to God if I'm in the center, because God stays as far away from me as I am from him at all times. If I try to move closer to class, God still comes with me, and so just everything else moves. Like, I don't get closer to going to my family, to my class, if I'm in the center of my own life. If I focus on being the center of my life, I can't come closer to anything else, because then I'm not the center anymore. Alright? So, how do we reach God? Like, if we want to get to God, then how do we reach God? Well, we have to place God in the center of our lives, as Irene told us. Because if you put God in the center of your life, then with the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not that you, like, so God's in the center, you're on the outside of your life, and everything else is outside of that. But the Holy Spirit, it doesn't move the circle. It brings the circle smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until finally you are with God, and so then you can be the center of your life because God is ultimately the center of your life, but you're the center of. You become the center of the lives as they were called to be by our Father in heaven. So God created our lives to be in a specific way. And if we are the center of that life that God has called us, then we can be the center of our lives. And then that's the only way we can do it. I wish I had figured this out a couple years ago, because this all just happened about 20 minutes ago. And it took me 20 years to figure this one out. I've been the center of my life for a long time. And had you guys known me a year ago, I was really in the center of my life, and I was really going one way and pushing God the other way. I was, instead of keeping that circle like this, I was more or less extending it one way so that I could get to the other side faster, which really didn't work, because it stayed a circle at all times. But, and God stayed with me at all times, and thank God for that. But last year, before I joined anything church-related, I worked in a bar in Bloomingtown. I was a bouncer at a bar. I'd been a bouncer for about a year and a half. Well, basically since I got to college, that's when I became the center of my life, because I thought I could do it on my own. I had that freshman in college attitude of, well, I can do it. I'm on my own now. I've made it to college. I can do what I want. And it doesn't work. Tip number one, it doesn't work. But so I tried leading my own life, and I started working at the bar last year. By mid-October is when I actually quit the bar, and that's when I first came to anything church-related. Before then, I hadn't been to Mass all year, including the summer. And up until then, my life consisted of drinking, smoking, chewing tobacco, and work. That's all I was focused about. Like, classes really didn't matter to me. Like, all right, I'll go to class, I'll pull off a C, and I'll be happy. You know, like, C's get degrees. That was my attitude. Or I guess it's C's get caps and gowns, but same thing. And at that point, working at the bar, I kept a record of how many people's noses I had broken. And, I mean, that was something I was actually, like, proud of. That was, to me, that was like something to be proud of. And so if somebody would talk to me about what I did, I'd be like, yeah, I've broken this many people's noses this year. Like, that's where I was at. And one of my friends asked me to come to something called Supper for Searchers at Newman on a Monday. And she asked me on a Saturday, and I said, I had a class, it's from 6 to 8 on Monday, and I was like, well, whatever, like, I'll go. And she couldn't go the first Monday, which happened to have been the first week of the Life in the Spirit seminar, the first one they did, and we couldn't go. And then the next week came around, and I felt like I should ask her to go. And normally I'm one of those people that ignores my feelings and just kind of lived for me. But I decided I should ask her, and so I did, and we went to Supper for Searchers, and from there, we were asked to stay for Life in the Spirit, and I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what I was getting myself into, and that was Monday, and then I met the Carubias and Tina, and a lot of other people there, and then from there, I was asked to come to the prayer meetings on Tuesdays, and I said, okay, so I went to the prayer meetings on Tuesdays, and that Tuesday night, I've been trying to quit the bar. I kind of felt like I needed to get out of the bar, but I couldn't do it. I didn't have the strength to do it on my own. Like, it was my life. So, I mean, how do you quit your life? Like, you know, like, that's just what I did. And so finally, that Tuesday night, I decided that was it. So after prayer meeting, I went down and I told my manager, like, this has been 2 weeks, you know. I mean, to this day, he still fights. I still get calls from Microsoft, and, hey, can you work for me tonight? And it's, no, I can't, you know. But then that Tuesday, I was told to come to Newman Night on Wednesday and dinner for $1. So I went there. But, and then I was also invited to the Charismatic Mass on Thursday, which I went there. And then I believe that Monday I was asked to, and I don't know how this happened, and I still can't figure it out, but I was asked to be the worship leader because we were starting a very more contemporary music at our 8:30 Mass or student Mass, and they had asked me right there and then to be the worship leader, and I don't know why, like, I don't know what it was, because I can't sing, I don't play any instruments, I have, like, I mean, like, it's bad, I have no tempo, it's really bad, but, I mean, it did it, and it worked for a while, and then kind of some stuff fell through the cracks, but, I mean, from there, I mean, I was able to completely rededicate myself to God and my life to God and really place God at the center of my life. And that's not something I could do on my own. That was never something I did on my own. And, you know, the Holy Spirit helps you, but it'll put people in your life to get you there. You can't, like, don't expect that it's just going to, like, happen someday. And when people try to come into your life and help you, you just shoo them off. Like, no, I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to do this. Like, divine Tetris, you know, the pieces are coming down, and you're looking at them, you're like, no, this isn't going to fit, this isn't going to fit, this isn't going to fit, this isn't going to work, and then at the last second, God will turn the piece, and it'll fit in perfectly, exactly where you needed it to fit, exactly how you needed it to get you where you're going. You know, we don't know what the map looks like ahead of us. We just have to let God lead us, and, I mean, that is bringing us to a new life, is once you let God take the lead.